course he's done.
It's turnover. So, these things got to go. All right. So my goal tonight is really just to inspire all of us to just finish strong. All right? And once again, just to be really inspired by Paul as he's just been blowing us away week by week with his perseverance, even through persecution. So I'm really excited to get inspired together with you guys tonight. But before we jump in, let's pray together here, and then we'll get it going. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for Jesus, God. Thank you so much that even before creation, God, that your plan was Jesus, that you wanted to heal us, that you wanted to buy us back, not because of any righteous things we've done, but just because you love us, God, so much. And Lord, tonight we just want to connect with you, God. We want to connect with your scriptures, and we want to really learn how to live in you, Jesus, how to live in this hope that we have in you. And we pray that you just work tonight, that you just give us what we need to know from your Spirit. Yeah. Just speak to us tonight, God. Please just help us to learn what it is you want us to learn. We love you, and we give this night to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. So, a little bit of context here. So, the Jews and the Jewish leaders, they just want Paul dead by this point. And so, Paul here is preaching and teaching that Jesus rose from the dead. He's conquered death, this Jewish man. And so they're trying to find these reasons why they want to kill him. And so King Agrippa tells Festus that he wants to hear Paul for himself. But they got nothing on Paul. They got nothing on him. And it's very similar to Jesus' trial, right? They put Jesus up on trial. The Jews are saying all these crazy things. And we know that Jesus never sinned. He's not guilty. And now in the same way, we see Paul going through the same thing. But, you know, how would you speak to people who are trying to find reasons to kill you? You know, how would that be for you? How would your compassion be in that situation? And what we'll see here as we read is that Paul still displays immense compassion, even in the face of his enemies. And he's literally following in the footsteps of Jesus. As Jesus went through his trial, as now he goes through another trial of his own. And King Agrippa, in this passage, is Marcus Julius Agrippa II, who is the great-grandson of Herod, which we see in Matthew chapter 2. The same Herod who wanted to kill baby Jesus and his mother. And all boys in Bethlehem 2 years younger. And so this lineage has been trying to destroy the hope of the nations since the day he was born. Right? So first you got Herod, and then two generations later, we're now encountering King Agrippa. And what is King Agrippa trying to do? Trying to shut down Paul preaching about Jesus, right? So we see the enemy is still at work trying to shut down the gospel, but it's still prevailing, right? So from when Jesus was born, and now Paul's on the scene, and again, he's literally following the footsteps of Jesus as he's facing this persecution because of nothing he's done, but simply because he's preaching about Jesus, the resurrected Messiah. And so tonight we're going to jump in here, and we're going to pick up in verse 1 of Acts chapter 26. And keep in mind as we're reading here that they want Paul dead. So let's remember that, how Paul handles this here. So let's pick up in verse 1, chapter 26. And the title of my message tonight is Because of This Hope. Right, which Paul is going to go on to later say in verse 7. And it's because of this hope. And we're going to get to know tonight, what is this hope? What is this hope that Paul's talking about here? So let's pick up here. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country, and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sects of religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope and what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?
Right.
So my first point is that Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. You know, so King Agrippa, he gives Paul permission to speak here. And he says, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The people that are trying to put him to death, he's able to stand there with compassion and say, I beg you, listen to me patiently, right? And Paul says he considers himself fortunate to stand before them.
Right.
That's amazing. Not that he's frustrated, not that he's trying to get out. He says, I consider myself fortunate to be before you today. And that is such a calling for us, right? You know, how do we share our faith? How do we lead a Bible study? Do we plead with people? Do we plead with people? Look, I beg you, just listen to me patiently. I've got to tell you about Jesus, right? And so we see Paul displaying that here, not to people that want to hear him, but people that want him dead, right?
Wow.
And so Paul goes on here to give us the reason for his compassion. And he says in verse 6, he says, it is because of my hope, right? So it's Paul's personal hope. But he also says in verse 8, it is because of this hope. So what is this hope, right? That's the question. What is this hope? You know, is it a wishy-washy, maybe this kind of unsure optimism? And, you know, for us, let's be honest, when we hear that word hope, we think, I wish, right? Or, you know, I hope the Yankees beat the Red Sox, right? That's how we use the word hope. And it's kind of to wish for, but without a certainty of fulfillment, right? And so what's happened is that sometimes when we read these scriptures, we have this really kind of just almost anemic idea of hope that's so not what the Bible says it's about, right? Our hope is not wishy-washy. It's not, well, I hope I'm saved, or I hope I'm getting to heaven. Actually, in both the Greek and the Hebrew, hope is an indication of certainty, right? So when Paul's talking about this hope here, he's saying, this is my strong and confident expectation, meaning his salvation, right? That Jesus has, he is our hope. He's finished the job. And that this is the hope we have. It's Jesus. So what he's saying, it's because of Jesus that I'm on trial today. It's because of my hope that I have an expectation that I'm going to be with God. And it's because of this hope that I stand before you today. And so sometimes when we read that word hope, we can kind of glance over it. But we got to remember that this hope that we have as disciples is rock solid, guys. It's ironclad. It's not going anywhere. And you have a hope to live for, right? And you know, what is this hope? This hope that we have in Jesus is that he was the Messiah. He lived a sinless life. He fulfilled all prophecy. He died, rose on the third day, conquered death, and then imparted righteousness to us. He did it. It's finished. It's not like, well, did it work out? That's our hope. It's done. It's done. Signed, sealed, delivered is yours, right? He's got it. Right? But that's what we have. How awesome is that? It's not wishy-washy. It's not, well, I hope I'm good. It's, you're good. Jesus did the job for you, right? And so we got to ask ourselves, you know, why do I do what I do? Because for Paul here, it's because of Jesus, right? He says, look, the reason why I'm here today still speaking is because of my hope, right? So why do we do what we do? Is it because of Jesus, or is it because of people? Or maybe some other wrong motivations? And that's the motivation, is that he loves you so much. He gave you his one and only son, and because of that, that'll give you the strength to be compassionate towards people that are opposing you. Amen? And so we serve a God. He thinks you're all that. You're a very big deal to God, you're plan A. He loves you, and he's given you the hope, not because of anything you've done, but just because he loves you. Yeah. And he saw that you were in a mess. And so that gives Paul the motivation and the reason to have this compassion, this immense patience, even in the face of his enemies. And so he's able to beg. He's able to beg and say, listen to me patiently. And so that's point number one, that Jesus is our hope. He's why we share. He's our motivation. And he's why we can love people even that are hard to love. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to keep on reading here. But point number two is that your story brings hope. Right? Your story brings hope. And Paul goes on here to share his story, which you're going to read about here. Let's pick up in verse 9. He says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time, I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. And about noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow. Talk about a good story to share with somebody, right? Paul, at any moment, he's like, hey, he could pull that bad boy out of his pocket anytime. Hey, so listen, I was going down the road, and let me tell you what Jesus did to me, right? But in the same way, your story matters.
That's right.
Jesus, in the same way, he stopped you on the road in your life, and he shook you up a little bit. He intervened, and he said, I'm appointing you. I want to use you as a servant. And so Paul here, he shows his clear before and after. You know, he talks about how he turned from being a disciple killer to a disciple maker. And he says, look, I cast my vote against them. You know, Paul killed the very Christians that he was soon to make. Right? Talk about an inspiring story that just makes you think, man, Jesus must really be powerful to do that in someone's life, right? And so he says, oh, look, I was even going to foreign cities just to persecute these people, right? And then enters Jesus, and he stops him in his tracks, and Jesus says to Paul, he says, is it hard for you to kick against the goats? Right, what does that mean, right? We've probably heard this sometimes, like, I was with you till there. All right, what's going on? What is a goat? So a goat is a long stick with an iron point at the end, and it's used to steer and drive an ox in the right direction when they're plowing. All right. And today, you know, it's commonly used for steering cattle. And so when animals rebel or resist against the direction of their shepherd or where the master wants them to go, the shepherd will actually dig this into their flesh into the pointed direction with this iron, causing really great pain. Right? So by asking Saul this question, Jesus was revealing the rebellious Pharisee that he was. Right? He says, why do you kick against the goads of me, Paul, against my spirit, right? And the goading of the Holy Spirit, you know, may be prompting you to move or change direction, but are you rebelling? You know, are you fighting? Are you kicking against God? You know, I don't know where you're at tonight, but what are your goads? How do you take correction from God and people, right? What maybe do you need to repent of that you've been kicking against for the longest time? You know, what have you maybe been prideful or just stubborn about for the longest time? Because the truth is, you're only making it harder for yourself. You know, you're honestly, when we kick against God and what the Holy Spirit's trying to do, you're just inflicting more pain upon yourself.
Right.
You know, God, he's in the business of trying to heal you, not hurt you. Yeah. We do that. Yeah. We do that to ourselves. God, he's telling Paul, why are you doing this to yourself? Right? And out of his grace, he said, actually, I want to, not only do I want to heal you,
right.
I want to use you.
Okay.
I want to appoint you. And in the same way, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to heal you. He wants to bind up your broken heart. And then he wants to use you to do that for other people. How amazing is that? But tonight's the night, you got to stop kicking. You got to stop kicking against the goats. And you got to let Jesus, who's the perfect shepherd, who knows what your soul needs better than you do, you got to let him guide you. Amen? You got to let him guide you along. And as Jesus says, I'm sending you to open their eyes. God's trying to open your eyes. And we sang that song tonight, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. God is doing that. He's trying to do that every day in our lives. But are we letting him? Right? Are we letting him in? Are we being humble enough? Are we letting people in to let the Spirit work? And so, when we let God work, and we let him appoint us to be a servant, then, which leads me to my last point, is that we can let our hope persuade, right? Which is what Paul goes on to do here. That's my third point, is that our hope, which is Jesus, persuades. Amen? You guys still with me?
Yeah, bro.
So once we know our hope, and we let it move us to share what this hope has done, it will persuade others to see this hope as well. And so let's pick up here in verse 19 as we close out this passage here. So this goes on to say, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance, their metanoia, by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense and said, you are out of your mind, Paul! He shouted, your great learning is driving you insane! I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am except for these chains. Wow. We could almost end there. Just amazing. Paul's passion. Right? And you know, earlier, Jesus says to Paul, he says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. What an honor that us sinners get to bring people from the power of the devil to the power of God. What an honor. What a calling. What a life to live. But sometimes I think we can forget. No, for me personally, we can just forget how dark the world really is. You know, Satan does a really good job as masquerading and making things look good when really, man, the world is dark. And so Satan can fool us to think people are actually fine when they're not, guys. They're not fine. He masquerades as an angel of light. And he tries to make us think that things are fine when people are dying. right? And I want to share a story with you guys. As I was thinking about the sermon, I thought it'd be really helpful to illustrate this point of how the world is dark, right? And so I share this story not to depress you, but to share how it taught me to make the most of every opportunity. And so in high school, I was terrible at math. And so every math class, I was in an extra help math class with a bunch of the same people. So the same people in high school were kind of the same, you know, for lack of a better word, dumb crew that always needed extra help in math. And we'd always sit in alphabetical order. And so, you know, my last name is Persing, and I would sit next to the P's. So John Papage and Sarah Pipe. Those are two people I sat next to. So Sarah was a girl that I sat next to all 4 years of high school, going through math together. And she was super popular. I mean, like one of the most popular girls in the school, really athletic, really good at lacrosse and field hockey. And she was awesome and was a girl that other girls really wanted to be. And so I sat next to her every class. And starting freshman year, pretty much every class, I started to just want to ask her about her music. Because I would hear her talking to her friends about how she'd go to New York and she'd do vocal lessons. And I started to think, well, maybe this is a way I can reach out to her or just be a friend, you know? And so every class, I'm thinking, I just gotta bring up music. But for me, as a very introverted, not the Mark I am now, high school student, not talking to anybody, I never talked to her about it, right? And so sophomore year goes by, we talk about other stuff, never really talked to her about music, never really told her about God. Junior year goes by, still didn't talk to her about it, still had the thought. Senior year, it gets to graduation. This is where it gets really sad, is because I sat next to her through all of graduation rehearsal, talking like 3 hours, and she's right there, and I just don't say anything. I just say, hey, how are you? Anything, right? And graduation comes, and I'm like, this is going to be it. We're going to be sitting in graduation for hours. I got to talk to this girl. You know, not that I liked her or anything, if you're getting that idea. but I was like, you know, I got to be a disciple here. I got to talk to somebody about God. She's sitting next to me here. And we're sitting in graduation out on the, you know, the field, and we get to the stage, and, you know, I'm like, dang it, dude. And we walk up, we get our diplomas, and that's it. And never saw her again. Right? So years go by, I'm at Willie P, I'm in college, and I go on Facebook one day, and I see my friend Jim posts, and I don't subscribe from a lot of my Facebook friends, it's weird that I saw this, and he said, rest in peace, Sarah. And I was like, what happened? Did she get hit by a car? This must have been a really tragic thing. And she's just a freshman in college, and it turns out that Sarah suffered from depression her whole life. And her freshman year of college took her own life and at our school. And I go on to my other friends' pages, and they're all really wigged out about it. And as I'm sitting there, I couldn't help but to start to cry and just think, man, she needed hope. She needed Jesus. And if I would have just said something, maybe at least when she was going through her really dark time, she would have reached out and said, hey, Mark, I know you got to go to that church. Look, I'm in a really low spot. I need something. Please help me. But guys, I didn't see how dark, the darkness of my high school. I didn't see that she was really going through a rough time. And Satan totally blinded me and seeing that, wait, I thought, man, this girl's fine, when she was the one going through the most in my high school. And so now, when I share, I don't care how good that person looks, how fine they may look, how popular they are, we never know. But the world is dark, guys. And if we would just look past and not judge and see that the world needs Jesus, then people would have hope, right? And so now, anytime I share with somebody, even today, and if they're super uninterested, well, I tell them, I say, look, you might not be interested now, but take my number. And you let me know if there's a time in your life where you really want to get to know God. And if you're going through a dark time, just take my number. And I force them to do that. Because I want to leave that moment knowing I gave them Jesus. I gave them a hope. That was worth it. Because that person could be another Sarah. And I'm done with stories like that. You know, I had another friend who got killed in a driving accident, who was my pitching coach, dead, right out of high school. And so I'm just so tired of letting Satan fool me. And I think I'm just tired of forgetting how dark the world is. And as I was kind of looking up just different stats, just that's crazy, guys. 6,000 people die every day. 50% of married couples, this is just in the U.S., end in divorce. And just in our state, over 1 million people live in poverty. I mean, it's dark. And so I say all this today that, man, we have a hope, and we have a really good reason to share it. Because the world is dark. And, you know, this mission that Paul had is ours as well, is that through Jesus, we open the eyes of the blind. We free people from the terrors of sin, the poison that has flooded our world and choked out all hope. And like Martin Luther King once said, he says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. God is love. God is the cure. People need Jesus. You're needed. You play a crucial role. You're plan A, guys. You know, we're the city on a hill that cannot be hidden, that must shine the bright light of Christ for everyone to see. And this is God's mission for you, to bring people from the power of Satan to the power of God. Check you out. That's a life. Why? So that people may receive the forgiveness of sins, as Paul says. And at the end, as to close out the passage, he says to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian, right? And I love what Paul says. He says, short time or long, I pray, God, that not only you, but all who are listening to me may become what I am, except for these chains, right? So Paul's focus isn't just on King Agrippa, but everyone, right? It's not just on the person he's sharing his faith with or studying with. He's like, everyone needs to know Jesus. Everyone needs salvation, and we got to believe that same thing, right? That there's open people out there that need Jesus. And you know, sometimes in a Bible study when you're sharing your faith, I've had this happen to me where someone say, are you trying to convert me, right? You ever get that in a Bible study? Are you trying to like convert me?
Yeah, we are.
It can feel awkward, and you're like, I am not, but I am, right? It's like, I am trying to do that. And I think Paul would be like, yeah, I am. Because you need Jesus. You do. You are in darkness. You don't have a hope. I do. Do I deserve it? No. But yeah, I'm trying to convert you, not just to some sort of religion or some sort of philosophy, but Jesus, because he's the only hope of the world. So yes, I'm trying to convert you. Yes, I am trying to do that. Yeah. So, you know, can I share with you guys my battle, what I wrestle with every day? You know, this internal battle that I feel every time I go on campus, I still get nervous when I share.
True.
I do. I still wrestle with it. But I do it.
Yeah.
I do it because I know people need hope, and I don't want any repeats of Sarah. Mm. Life is too short. Jesus is too amazing for me to not tell people about it. You know, but when we do look and see people and have compassion, we get our hope built up. You know, we start to see stories like Vinny. You meet a guy like Vinny who studies the Bible, sees Bible talk, he's like, these people are amazing, becomes a Christian, and now he wants to start a Bible talk in Sussex County, right? That's awesome. When we see the darkness, when we have compassion, like Paul does, you got stories like Carlos, right? Who studied, who saw his need for God, even through tough times, and said, look, I'm giving my life to God. That's amazing. And now Carlos, he reached out to his friend Jason, who showed up to his first Bible study weeping. I mean, just weeping. And he says, I'm not even going to share, but this guy, he's in a dark spot. And he needs God too. But Carlos reaches out, and he sees the darkness, and he has compassion. And so when we let ourselves really see people in need, we see God work. But you know, how do you see the world? I mean, really, like, when you walk on campus, how do you see people? Do you see the need? Do you see darkness? And do you see that people are going to hell? People need God. People need a hope. And so we got to let this hope drive us to be compassionate, and that this fear of God can lead us to persuade others. I love when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, right? Jesus is why we share, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer, right? So the world looks at us like we're crazy, but we're the ones living in the spiritual reality.
Right.
And anyone, let's be honest, anyone who has sought to bring hope to this world has either been persecuted or killed. You know, we'll face opposition, but it's not because you're crazy. It's because of this hope. It's because of Jesus. Because he faced death. He faced a beating and opposition. And because he knew that we needed hope. And so it's not because we're crazy. And you know, even Steve Jobs talks about this. He says, here's, I love this quote. He says, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them. You can disagree with them. Glorify or vilify them. But the one thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones that do. And praise God that we're the crazy ones, right? Praise God we have a hope. Praise God that sharing our faith isn't weird. It's not goofy. It's normal. Because we have such a hope that how could we not? How could we not share this hope that brings healing? This hope, this love that's so amazing. It's so divine. It demands my life, my soul, my all. It demands my everything. But if we don't realize this hope and lead us to be compassionate, then we don't see God work.
Yeah.
But if we each here tonight, if we each commit to connecting with our hope and living out Paul's example daily, guys, then this thing explodes. This thing explodes. We see people coming out all the time. We see God just totally blow our minds, right? And so I just want to leave you guys with a couple challenges for tonight, a couple things to leave with. Number one, share your story with one person this week, like Paul does. Share your story. Share what God did in your life, just one person. Second thing, spend time in the Word connecting with the hope you have in Christ. All right, spend time connecting with what you have in Jesus. That is not a wishy-washy hope, but it's an expectant salvation that you have. Amen?
Amen.
And so, let's remember that it's because of this hope that we have in Jesus that we're able to share our faith, share our story, and that our hope in Jesus persuades others to put their hope in him as well. And as you share your hope, don't kick against the goads. Go with the goads. Go with the Spirit. Be humble and help God people, bring people from the power of darkness to the power of light. And let's change the world together. Amen?
Amen.
I love you guys. Amen.